meeting takes place, we just wanted to adopt our minutes of the 18th, 23rd, 24th, 31st of October. Members should have those. Has everybody got a set of minutes of the 18th, 23rd, 24th, and the 31st? Adoption of... We want to table some changes to our program for this term, and then we want to look at proposed program for the first quarter of next term, and then you should have a copy of documents for our interaction with the inspecting judge with the legal aid board next week, and then we see checks in the afternoon. Right in the afternoon at 10:15. If we could go to the easier ones, and that is agenda item 4, if we can deal with agenda item 4, which talks to changes for this quarter. In other words, we had a meeting today. We had a meeting on the 14th with the legal aid board. We had a meeting on the 28th with the department. After our meeting, we were informed that the house rises before the 28th. And so we approached the department and indicated to them that we'd like them to move a quarterly from the 28th to the 21st, because we felt that we need to deal with these matters before we rise. You recall it's the quarterly report. It is the discussion around the fencing contract, and it's the discussion around the nutrition. So it's really just an announcement that instead of the 28th, everything has moved forward by a week. It's now going to take place on the 21st. Can we have any comment on that? Otherwise, if we leave it on the 28th, it means we don't see this department until the new year, and we thought we want to see them before we break. Are we comfortable with that approach? We are. Thank you. So then we've got three meetings, including today's meeting. Next week is the legal aid board, and the final meeting would be with the department to deal with the quarterly and everything else. So that deals with agenda item number 4. If we then can move to agenda item number 3, I just want to deal with one that we could deal with quickly, which is our proposal for the first quarter next term. Our slot for oversight visit, and if it's agreed to by this committee, we in fact have asked them Paul and Cindy to start doing work on it. We're proposing that during that period of the 28th of January to the 8th of February, we look at going on our oversight tour. That our focus areas would be to go to countries that have a similar mechanism to our inspecting judge type of mechanism, and also to focus on inmate reintegration. So whichever countries we choose, we want to go to countries that have mechanisms equivalent to the inspecting judge. We've asked Cindy and Mpo to do some research on those kind of countries for us, and hopefully we can submit our proposal to the House Chair and to the Speaker before the 15th, otherwise it's not going to be considered. So we would need your buy-in in terms of the principle. The countries, we will communicate to you as soon as we've done our spade work on that. Huh? Then we have the State of the Nation address and all those type of things that take place early February. Our next interaction would be on the 19th of February. Members will recall that we decided that we want to have an endeavor with the department, with the senior management, with everybody, to start talking about their commitment to realigning their budget to the white paper. And we said if we have a round table around that matter as a workshop, it will start the process for us. So we are hoping to do that for the whole day on the 19th. On the 20th, a similar type of meeting, the inspecting judge also asked us to facilitate a meeting where he is with the department, so that instead of just talking about these things, we can put it to all of them about their commitments, and we are proposing that for the 20th. The week thereafter, we will then receive a report on the analysis of the state of the nation and how it affects our department. We will then consider the report of the inspecting judge, our interaction of the week before. And then we will have our first interaction of the department for a September to December quarter, but we are suggesting that we only deal with finances in the first meeting. In other words, that we split the financial interaction from the operational interaction, because we've never been able to get with them. So we're suggesting that on the 27th we deal some of the finances, the normal quarterly finances. The next week we do the inspecting judge. On the 13th, we then deal with the department on its quarterly, but this time dealing with operations. The 20th really is if there are any outstanding matters that we want to interact with the department, inspecting judge, even our own domestic work if there is. So it's really an open meeting to deal with any matters listed from our previous meetings that quarter that we want to deal with the department on. It's really wrapping up. The next week we will then start our engagement with the budget and strat plan by dealing with the stakeholders on 27th, the department on the 28th, and then we adopt our own report on the strat plan and the budget on the 29th. It's a short meeting, as you'll see there, from 1 o'clock to about 1:45 type of thing. So it really is two workshops and quarterly. That's really what we are proposing for the first quarter of next term, plus the oversight visit. Can we have comments from members on that one? Mr. Self, and then Mr. Makakula.
Thank you. I think it's fine, Chair, just to say that I think we need to keep that Wednesday, the 20th of March, open in case there are developments. Things happen, and if we can have that as an understanding that that is also to be used for events that might occur from which we might need responses from the department on an ad hoc basis. Yeah.
All right, there's a proposal.
But you already say members, matters to be listed and submitted for the committee's approval. So, I mean, it's to provide for that flexibility. The second thing is that I received an invitation to a colloquium organized by...
Because it's not indicating, because as we started to speak about the overseas a long time ago, and then even now it's not indicating where we're going, and then we still don't know where we're going, it's not in black and white. It shows that the arrangement is not yet being used in sight. Really, I'm doubtful.
All right. Let me take the blame for that. As you recall, these changes that we are proposing are not on the original agenda. If we agree in principle, and I indicated that by the 15th we have to submit it to the House Chair and the Speaker. If it's not too much of a problem, I'm looking at MPO, I don't see MPO, I'm looking at MPO and Cindy, would we be able to have indication of proposed country by next week's meeting? Mr. Makakula, would that be fine if by next week we can give you a draft application that we'll be submitting to the House Chair? So it will have the dates and the countries and so on. Is that okay?
No.
All right, so we'll ask Cindy and MPO then to do a presentation of the 14th of their proposals, and if it's agreed to, we will then submit that proposal to the House Chair and to the Speaker. And then if we can then get to that colloquium that we're talking about, indeed we received an invitation, again after our meeting from the minister, who dearly would love the entire committee to avail themselves on the 19th and the 20th of this month for a workshop. just a bit of background, the minister, I mean, we know the challenges of overcrowding, but the minister's view is that he wanted all the role players, the police, the judges, the NPA, everybody in that meeting. His view is that it is the judiciary that sent people to correctional services, and then members of correctional services go back to that very judiciary to sue us for overcrowding. So they come send people there and then sue us later on. It's that type of arrangement. We had asked Cindy to get the necessary permission from the House so that if members go, I would assume that the implications of accommodation and travel have to then be incorporated. I'm not sure, Cindy, how far you are on that one. That is the principle. We're hoping that everybody goes. And if we go, then it goes without saying that on the Monday night, we would have to be accommodated and hopefully fly back Tuesday so that our business on Wednesday continues uninterrupted. Wednesday's business will continue uninterrupted, so there's no excuse not to have our Wednesday meeting, but we will then leave, I don't know, mid-afternoon on Tuesday so that we are ready for the Wednesday's injection. Cindy, I'm not sure if you've made applications or what is the process. All right. We need to indicate, or we need to get a sense here. As I said, the minister would like the entire committee to be there because it seems an important meeting. But we need an indication, first of all, of those that won't make it so that we can make application for those that must go. But let's take your comment, and then I think you want to comment. Let's take your comment, Ms. Abra. And then also for members, indicate those that would not make it so that we make applications just for those that want to go. Ms. Abra?
Chairperson, I see this document here, which is the invitation to this colloquium. But what it says here is that the minister invites Mr. Smith to a colloquium on finding solutions for South Africa's high rate of incarceration. Now, I'm not sure, Chair, whether the invitation is only to Mr. Smith or is it only to the chairperson, or because it does not state the committee here. So I just want to make sure, Chair. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, a couple of things. I mean, firstly, this is unfortunately short notice that it's such an important thing. You know, particularly at this time of the year when one's diaries get very, very full indeed, to take 1.5 days out of the schedule is, at this notice, is very complex. Now, in order for me to rearrange my diary, I would need to know more about who else is coming so as to assess the relative importance of this vis-a-vis other things that demand one's attention. So I don't know whether, when you said judges and the NPA and so on, I mean, are they actually coming, or at what level are they going to be represented, and you know, how important is it, in other words?
No, I just want to say that I received one in my name, an invitation, so I don't know what happened. They didn't receive. I got it.
All right, just to answer the first question, indeed the entire committee has been called, Nagabran, but at the time that we were preparing this, we couldn't wait for the invitation to the committee. So there is indeed an invitation to the entire committee. I would imagine that will be forwarded at a future stage, but take my word that the entire committee has been invited. I'll come to you. Do you want to talk on that same matter first? Before, can I deal with the other matters and then come back to you, or do you want to?
No. On the same matter, Jefferson. I did receive my invitation, sir. I just need to get the arrangement early because I'm not flying from my constituency. From the Northern Cape, you have to drive to Cape Town. So mine must really come early, otherwise I won't make it if it comes late. Same, sir.
All right. Mr. Self, short notice, indeed we were, as I indicated, only informed. In fact, the thing that I received was also dated. I think the day I received it was last week sometime, and if we must fight, we must fight with the department, I guess. But in my interaction with the minister, it seemed like it was a very high level. In other words, we're talking about judges, not an official in the judiciary. And somebody senior from the NPA and somebody senior from the police. I think it's serious, but his words to me were, we're probably one of the the most overcrowded country, and they want to deal with this matter. So in terms of the actual names, I don't have it. If people want the actual names of who is going to represent, I'm sure we can inquire from the department and then pass that on to you. But my understanding is at the most senior level. The actual detail is as I have it. I mean, I don't know anything more than that. Palitra, it's 8 o'clock on the 19th for the whole day, and I would imagine for the 20th for the whole day, but as I indicated, we'd have to cut it short if we want to be back here for our business on the 21st. I don't have more detail than that, but again, if members want more detail, but I would imagine that the times are from 8 o'clock in the morning until whenever on Monday night, and again Tuesday morning, until whatever time on Tuesday night. We would have to cut it short on Tuesday if we want to get back here for our meeting on Wednesday. That's the information at my disposal. Cindy seems to indicate that individual invitations have been sent out directly by DCS, not from us, but Mr. Lack seems to have received his. We will again go back to the department and if members want an invitation in their name, we can ask them, but I think this can suffice. If members want invitations in their name, Cindy can do the necessary follow-up for us on invitations in your name. And also in connection to who exactly would represent which body, so the members can then decide if it's worth shifting their ideas accordingly. So that is the home call, because if they plan, they must have those names. Can we allow Cindy until the end of business tomorrow maybe to give us that type of information? And on the basis of the information received, Cindy will then start the application tomorrow, because it will have to be by name to the house, and also in terms of the booking arrangements, she'll have to know exactly who is available and not available. Is that in order? Mr. Abra?
Chair, I accept that we are all invited. I don't need a specific invitation. In terms of attendance, Chair, I will sort it out with Cindy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ben.
That deals with that. If we can go to our minutes, and I'm assuming by now everybody has received the necessary minutes. If you haven't, just to indicate, the minutes that members have now before them would have some sections that are in bold and underlined. That's just to highlight the changes that were effected after the first draft. So it won't go out in this fashion, but that is just to highlight the changes that were effected after members might have received draft one of the minutes. But your draft that you've got now would have those corrections where we were able to pick them up, and if there are more corrections, you are more than willing to write them. So if we could go to the 18th of October, this was the budget review recommendations report consideration and the old assembly. Are there any amendments to page one of our minutes?
Chair, nothing other than, it's fine. So, yeah.
Okay. Page two. All right. Nobody seems to have any on page two of those minutes. Can we then have an indication for adoption of the minutes of the 18th? Thank you very much. Moving on to the 23rd. Again, we ask for any additional changes to page one of those minutes. Page two of those minutes. Page three. And page four. Adoption of the minutes. Thank you very much. Nobody seems to be opposing it. That is the 23rd. The 24th minutes. Are there any alterations on page number one?
Right, screen. Right, number four. Right, five. Page 6?
Yes, only.
Yes, only on page 5. Page 5, yes, sir.
Point 2.3.2. Remand detention facility.
Alright. Page 6? Yes, sir.
2.4.
Hello. Yes, sir. Oh, just take eight. All right. Page 7. Page 8. Page number 9. Page 10. Page 11. And page number 40. Can we have an indication of acceptance? Thank you very much. Nobody is opposed to it. Minutes of the 31st of October. Any alterations? Corrections on page number 1. Page number 2. Page number 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Any indication that you are happy with the minute? Anybody? Thank you very much.
Sorry, Professor.
Yes, thanks. Sorry. Yes.
352.
On page number 7.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Can you read that table of the statutory criminal to be final before the procedure was initiated?
Before the CCS B permitted, take the last one.
Remind members that we want to be as up to date as possible when we submit our overseas trip, so that there are no technicalities that will be used against us, Cindy. So if you can have as many of our minutes up to date before we submit on the 15th. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes, sir.
Sometimes we don't say it, but I would like this Cindy to know that she and her team that are responsible for minutes
yes.
must be congratulated.
Yes.
So another community in which I serve, I think Comrade Palisa will know what I'm talking about, where in the last 15 months I haven't seen a single minute. So I want to congratulate her and the team, yeah, and the leadership that you give.
Yes.
I can buy a grape juice. I can't recommend
All right, Cindy's giving a bit of bad news. First of all, she's saying that on the previous arrangements, we already had our countries. But recall, I think we had Australia. So there were countries in the previous one, but because we changed it, that's why there aren't any countries. So that's why they will do that. But the other bad news that Cindy's giving me now is that indications are that only 7 members can go on this trip, 5 from the ANC and 2 from the opposition. So that's something else that we must consider and fight about. That's confirmed, is it? Yes, that's confirmed. So as we look at our discussions next week when Mpo and Cindy present to us, we'll have to find a way of fighting about the 5 and 2 members. That unfortunately the rules. We must find a way of getting around it if we all want to go or living with it if we can't get around it, but that's according to Cindy and Mpo.
I know we missed our day, but we passed.
That deals then with our first part of the agenda. I'm sure they're expecting that to sit outside because it's a court part. We can have a 2 minutes, whatever, but we should then start with the quarterly for the inspecting judge as soon as they arrive. Thank you very much. Economic development type of thing. So it is a great city, but Ms. Schreiner will, I think, be vacating in the next couple of... You don't know about it? No, then... No, no, then it's off the record, by the way. It's off the record, by the way. But, I thought I would let you guys know. If I know about it, you must know about it. Nobody said to me there's a secret in the whole thing. So, and I don't think there's going to be an opportunity in the next 2 weeks for the powers that be to come here and say to you, I think it's in order that you say to you that Ms. Schreiner has been approached, whether it takes a week or a month or a year, but she's on her way out. To economic development as a director general. And it's a bit. And we will afford the inspecting that as the common practice, an opportunity to make any input you want to make before we adjourn. We are to deal with the quarterly report of the inspector. The CEO is here, so we'll hand over to you, CEO.
Good morning, Honourable Chin, Honourable Members. We will continue on the format that we have been reporting in the past in terms of our quarterly report by not making a presentation and repeating the content. We are blessed that our reports are always submitted on time, as scheduled. That is to say, the server is up and running. Just on a lighter note, I think we missed a few hours this time because we were struggling with our emails. But, Honourable Chair, this is the fourth time that we are reporting in terms of our, on a quarterly basis. Our first quarterly report was October to December 2011, and in preparation for the session, I just scanned through the reports and looked at where we come from and where we are, and also took into consideration various comments in terms of quality and things like that. And I am humbled when I say that I think we tried in as far as possible to address those kind of issues and put mechanisms in place to prevent making the same mistakes again. today I'm going to shift a little bit to another gear in the sense that Mr. Masondo, the Director of Management Regions that manage the four regional offices as well as the post-establishment of the Independent Correctional Centre Visitors, the ICVs, I'm going to allow him to respond to any question and allow him to swim and to develop. I just think it's the proper thing to do. And then also in terms of Program 2, I will allow Mr. Umiraga and his team, he's got three managers, one for each objective, to respond, and I will, just for information, take focus on Program 1, which gets to the support office of the judge, CEO, financial and HR matters. With your permission, Mr. Chair, that will be the manner in which we will be responding to any interaction, questions, comments from the portfolio committee. And in this, at this note, I wish to say that we are ready for whatever question may be posed to us. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
All right, let's then engage. The reports are there, and they're suggesting that we get into them. Let's start with Mr. Self and then Mr. Pele. Yes, sir?
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for the report, which, as Mr. Carl has said, we professionally delivered. May I just ask four questions. The first relates to staff. Can we just know how the staff has grown over the time? Because there is a post-establishment here, but it's difficult to know what it was previously. Secondly, I see here that the department and the CHICS is having difficulty with the Department of Public Works about property management and the renewal of a lease. The very last thing we want is for CHICS to find themselves like the parole officers in Johannesburg out on the pavement because public works don't do what they're supposed to do. And if that is the case, I'm going to do something nasty to public works. So perhaps we can have an update about what is going on there and what is happening to resolve it. The third relates to the whole question of the complaints processing, monitoring and investigations. And again, there seems to be a degree of tardiness on the part of particularly heads of centre to finalise these complaints. Lots of outstanding reports, information that's outstanding, and specifically in the context of what we discussed previously, the question of handing over the investigation reports to CHICS. And I want to know whether that is getting better or getting worse, or whether it's localised, or whether it's a general trend. And finally, just I see that the inspecting judge has made a focus of children in conflict with the law, and that the inspectors facilitate various workshops. The workshops aren't dealt with in the report as far as I could see, and perhaps we could get some information and specifically what value that particularly added. Thank you, Chair.
The first question in terms of the post-establishment, after my appointment as the director on the 1st of April, it was reported in the previous financial year that there were 35 posts scrutinizing the post-establishment and having meetings with the department. We discovered that there was actually 44. And I can't give answer to that. What we did is we confirmed it in writing that it should be 44. To the department, and then we fold all those posts. So as it is reported, we have 44. Then in our various reports, we have built in quite a capacity in our legal services. As I said, we had three members in legal services currently. There are 13 members in legal services. This result that as on today we have 24 fixed contract posts, and I also mentioned that in our annual report. So, meaning that we almost have 40% of our fixed establishment, total establishment is fixed contract posts. But there's no way that we will be able to deliver if we don't go that route. The department has also made provision in terms of the finances. If you look at our finances, you will see that we are on target of what we budgeted and envisaged. It's only that the post-establishment is not approved for us then to advertise and go through that process. I trust that I've answered that question. The second question is, yes, we have deliberately, I use the word deliberately, phrased it in a manner that the portfolio committee should take note that we have been reporting for the fourth consecutive quarter, and also in our annual report, that the contract, the lease contract of the head office in Cape Town, as well as the one in Centurion, has not been renewed since 2009, May 2009, meaning it expired then, and since then we've been operating on a month-to-month basis. The process is on its way to renew it. It has been signed by the department. We've got evidence, we've got copies of everything that the department does. So somehow the public work is not finalizing that process. So the holdup is, I can guarantee, not in the department, because we've got evidence that meetings were with the public work. I cannot give the detail of what is the holdup. That, together with additional officers that has been signed by the National Commission in November 2011, and we've been following up that on a monthly basis, strictly pushing it as hard as possible, because it's really uncomfortable in this temporary offices that we are sitting, and not the office, because we are sitting on the premises of DCS, and it really compromises our independence. But we have to make a choice between going there and deliver than to wait for one day for the offices to be procured and then only starting. I trust that I could answer you on that question. I'm going to jump to the fourth question.
Just before you do that one, has that matter been escalated to the Deputy Minister? Because our understanding is that X is the responsibility of the Deputy Minister. Now the question is, you have raised it with the National Commissioner, or you've got proof that the National Commissioner has signed whatever. Has this matter been escalated to the department? I mean to the Minister. That's the question. Do you want to follow up on that one?
The answer shortly is yes. There was a meeting between the Deputy Minister and the judge. And I was there presently. I took the minutes of that meeting, and there were specifics that was on the agenda, and one of the points on the agenda was this issue. Yes, sir. The third one, I'm jumping to the fourth question, and I'm going to ask Mr. Raga to respond to the third question because it relates to Program 2. In our annual report, we gave a summary of the survey that was done by our Independent Correctional Centre visitors. We are busy developing a tool whereby we will be monitoring the performance of what is happening at our juvenile centres per se. And then from that tool, we will then be able to get some facts and then come up with specific recommendations, but also give a more detailed what is happening at our juvenile centers per se. So the workshop was in preparation of the tool, what do we want to achieve, what is the outcome, also working in terms of timelines, because it's just Chabalala's project and we would like to see it being concluded by October 2014. So the workshop is just in preparation of the tool, what we're going to use, what mechanisms we're going to use, what staff members we're going to use, what role the ICC visa is going to play, and what will the outcome be by October 2014. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks,
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. Mr. Self, in response to your question, it's quite apparent when you look at the current quarterly report under complaints, there are a number of investigation reports that are outstanding. If I can make a general comment, after Mr. Council met the Chief Operating Officer some months back, there was a understanding and agreement that at DCS head office they would be monitoring what the soldiers, so to speak, on the ground are doing. My general view is that it had improved somewhat, but it seems to have lapsed overall with regard to the provision of investigation reports. In conclusion, I just like to say that this report, all our quarterly reports are sent to the department at least, I think they're given about 14 days, if I'm not mistaken, to the National Commissioner, to all the DDCs, to the Regional Commissioners. If there's a refrain from us, and what we implore, and we said this before, is that if the department's own hierarchy doesn't monitor what happens on the ground, you have the consequence as you see here. So we deal with heads of centres and we escalate to area commissioners and regional commissioners. And I give you a general answer. There are pockets of cooperation, and in others, none. I don't want to single out any particular region, but I think I'll be remiss if I don't mention the Eastern Cape, the breakfast region, as one of them, without making any adverse, particularly adverse remark about the rest. But exemplary in making comments on our quarterly report and whatever submissions we make. And then there are pockets of good and bad. Thank you.
Chairperson, I just want to follow up on this HR vacancy thing, if possible, before we move on. Can I? Mr. Carter, your document indicated, I think page 6, is post-establishment. I assume that is only applicable on your head offices, correct? It's not in the provinces. The entire establishment. Are there currently positions outside, senior positions like deputy directors, assistant director levels, which are currently vacant, which needs to be filled, which is it inclusive here? Do you have vacancies? And if so, is it part of this? Thanks.
Shortly, the report indicates as on the 31st of October, we had one vacancy on all levels. That is from 2 to 14. Level 9 was a policy and research, and that post was filled on the 22nd of October. And that person is in the house, so we've got absolutely no vacancies. We fill our vacancies within 60 days.
Thank you. Thanks, sir. It's on page 9, broken through. I think they say all the recommendations have been adequately addressed. Now, I'm interested to find out particularly point number 2, where they say that the doctor only arrives once a month. Does it mean that they've got a permanent doctor now there, if they say all have been adequately addressed? And also in number 4, public transport to the center for visitors is not available. Do we have transport now available for the visitor to the center? Then we go to page 11. In page 11, number 3, where we talk of the juveniles. 378 juveniles, but only 148 who are involved in formal education. What is happening to these 208 juveniles? What are they doing? Are they just sitting, doing nothing? And in the issue of classrooms, we have enough classrooms now, as we speak. Then the last one, chairperson, is on page 12, for now. It talks of rekabling and installation of IT, that's number 2. And also number 5, it talks of the tiles on the walls. I want to find out if these ITs are functioning well now, as we speak, and who are responsible for fixing them if they were not in order. And in the issue of tiles, was the DPW involved in fixing these tiles, or were they done by the inmates?
Thank you.
All those questions from Objective 1 program to I would allow Mr. Desarta to respond to this unit. Thank you, Chair Honourable Members. Let me just start by the water fee matter. Point number 3, the permanent doctor. The response was that the doctor is now contracted because the post establishment for correctional services doesn't allow a permanent doctor to be appointed in a small center. So what has happened now is that the doctor is still coming once a month, but there's nothing that they can do. Then point number 5, the correctional services, they approached NICU to organize transport, but NICU couldn't help due to financial constraints. They did give private transport services numbers out to all the visitors. Then in the inspection in Boxburg Juvenile, number 4, the DPW was contracted to build more classrooms, DCF indicated that they did put it on the priority list, but it is a long-term project. Then regarding the Victoria West matter, the IT problem, the network installation, the IT controller was on site and he did attend to the matter just after the inspection took place. Then regarding the tiles, it is also, according to DC, a long-term solution because all the tiles must be replaced. But what happened was that the contractor did coat the tiles to ensure that it will be more hygienic in the meantime until they can be replaced. And then I think that is about it. Oh yes. Regarding the juveniles who are not involved in formal training, the head of center indicated that the maximum participants that he can accommodate in the train has now been identified and they are trained. People who are also identified as having to have training are then transferred to the other centers where the training is available. Thank you.
Yes, I think I must say that I'm not satisfied with the answer. Because if you read here the outstanding issue, they say adequately addressed. But if you listen to the answer that he is elaborating now, it is not yet adequately addressed. There are still more to be done there. I'm not here. I think they must go into the work. In fact, it should have been highlighted here in this report that these things are outstanding. This is what was said by the department. Thank you.
The one challenge, and I'm just looking on to Mr. Self's question that Mr. Rada responded on, is that although we send a monthly report to the department, when I say department, COO, and all the regional commissioners, and the quarterly report, by the time that we must submit to the portfolio committee, they did not respond in writing. They do respond, but it is after the submission date. So we are filed as update, but it is impossible to print it. And that is one of the things that we need to address, that the response must be within the time frame so that we can update our report and give you a more proper report in that context, Mr. Chair.
You know, Mr. Carlos, this matter, we had a big fight within E249. I recall the previous RFC for Western Cape, Smallberger, was the one that said to us, we get this report, it appears as if nothing has been done, you guys give it to DCS, late, all those fights. And we thought we were going to clear that matter. If you are now still coming up with a matter of a lack of coordination, that when we get a report, it might not be as 100% up to date as far as the DCS is concerned, or DCS comes and says to us, but we're hearing for it for the first time, then we have to ask the question, what is the value of this quarterly report exercise that we're doing? I recall in E249 we had this type of discussion. So I'm not sure how you guys are going to answer it, but when we get the quarterly report, we would want to get a quarterly report that has been sanitized in all respects. In other words, the department has had an opportunity to comment on it. Because remember, these are quarterly reports up to September, I think, up to December. What's the September? We are now in November. So there is sufficient time, and you were submitted this thing to us a week before the time. So we really can't have a situation where 2 months afterwards we still have this argument of whether it's sanitized or not. So I think Mr. Thaler's point is something you guys have to really work on. We hear you now, but we can't continue. Mr. Abraham, and then we'll follow Mangwenya, Abraham, and then followed by Halisa.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, firstly, I need to remind ourselves once more, I will continuously doing that, and that is that we have a constitutional obligation. With regard to the circumstances, the conditions, and the rights of inmates. Now, in these reports, there are constant refrains from one center to the other. they seem to be constant. For example, that there is a lack of social workers, nurses, medical attention, mentally challenged inmates being kept in the same cells as, shall I call them, normal inmates. Now, Chairperson, fine. These people are there because they have owned society and they have to be punished for what they have done. But Chairperson, on the other hand, the Constitution guarantees all of us, including inmates, certain rights. I've always said that the Constitution can guarantee you all the rights. Unfortunately, the Constitution cannot deliver those rights. Those rights are delivered by those that are placed in charge of the people and those that have them under their care. It is their duty, their job, to see that they discharge those rights that the Constitution provides. Now, Chairperson, my first problem here is that the report indicates that the Inspectorate has facilitated various workshops relating to children in conflict with the law. Now, in the visits, Chair, the Inspectorate visits, did the Inspectorate focus on implementation of the Child Justice Act? If so, what are the challenges that they have noted regarding the implementation of the Act by DCS? Very important, Chair, we need to know. Secondly, on page 13, Chair, if you look at the Oudtshoorn Medium A Center, the report states that juveniles and children were found not to have access to education. And I think Mr. Keller also referred to it. In terms of various other centers, it is there, Chair. Now, is that center registered as a full-time educational institution as well? How many juveniles are in that particular center? And what are those plans in place to involve juveniles and children in programs? Now, Chairperson, the other refrain that one finds here in the report is the extremely limited number of inmates who are engaged in some or other form of activity. Now, I've always been a champion for self-sufficiency, and I still believe it is the only way to go, because then you will be able to get people to do something, and when they leave the facility one day, they can at least become useful citizens in society and find themselves productively engaged somewhere along the line. Now, Chairperson, the centers that we have visited, we find that the inmates are virtually in a warehouse, locked up for basically 23 hours of the day, have a little bit of time for exercise, and that's it. And remember, Chair, what our old people used to say can never be wrong. I take my cue from my elders. An idle mind is the devil's playground. And devilish acts actually are committed from within the prison, planned actually and committed outside. So my question there, Chairperson, is, yes, it is very nice to have all these reports which tells us of the problems on inspections. It tells us of the fact that certain acts took place under the aegis of the JICS to get the heads of centers and the department to do something about it. But I want to know, Chair, now, I don't know, Jay, whether the inspectorate would be the right people to ask. I don't think so. But I think later on, Chair, we have the department there. They need to tell us, Chair. We have in our country a condition where if you are a medical student and you attain your degree, you have to do community service. Now, what are we doing? What I know is that many dentists who have qualified medical people and so forth are posted out into the remote areas. But here in front of our eyes, Chair, we have a problem in these bigger urban centers where we have these large numbers, large populations of inmates, and we cannot deploy those people to these institutions. What are the problems, Chair? Why can it not be done? And we need to have answers, Chair. Otherwise, Chair, what is going to happen is that we are constantly going to get the highlights of the problems. For example, it is said here on numerous occasions, Chair, at numerous different centers, that the center management do not listen to the difficulties and the problems of the inmates. Now, I think, Chairperson, the time has come when we need to ask the department that these are the issues that the inspectors have highlighted to you. It is said here that, for example, in the case of these Oudtshoorn youngsters, there are plans in place to involve all inmates and especially juveniles and children in educational programs. Chairperson, that statement means nothing, because we are not being told about what has in effect happened. And that is what counts, Chair. Talk is cheap, and money buys the whiskey. And Chairperson, unless in our oversight function, we become brutally frank and straight about things, without fear or favor, and tell it as it is, we are not going to see changes. I mean, I've sat here now for about 3.5 years in this committee. And what I heard at the inception in 2009, I'm still hearing the same thing 3.5 years later. When I leave here in another 18 months' time, I'm certain I'm not going to see the situation having changed for the better. So, Chairperson, the department must explain. And what are the challenges in not being able to carry out these basic human rights issues, Chair? What we are talking here is of human rights, Chair. And there will come a day, Chair, when some or other major organization in this country, perhaps FUL, I hope I haven't shown, Chair, they will take the issue, Chairperson, on behalf of the inmates and take us as government to court. I think we are heading in that direction, Chair, because precious little seems to be happening to improve the conditions in there. And unless you want to outsource certain of the functions in there, tell us. If you can't do the job, tell us. But we cannot carry on this way, Chair. Thank you very much.
Please give the comments if you want to, or go to the directors of the department. If you want to comment, you can comment as well as the department, and also
Acting CEO, I'm assuming that Modise will be taking notes for us for future, but do you want to respond? Do you want to respond?
No, sir,
you
will
give us
a
respond.
Alright? Sir? Yeah, you can come, sir.
Mr. Abram, are you comfortable that this matter will be shelved until we interact with the department? Because it was most diluted to the department. The
inspecting
judge, rather deferred to the department. I want to check, are you comfortable with that approach?
Chairperson, you know, I'm very wary about matters being deferred. I have actually asked the JICS some direct questions as well. And the very least I expect, sir, is the responses to those questions. If there are any of them that they cannot respond to, let them tell us. And then, of course, Chairperson, them being at the cold face of inspecting places, institutions, they should be able to tell us about why certain things should be done and how it could be done, Chairperson. I mean, I take it that that is the purpose of doing an inspection, that you then have a bird's eye view of why certain things are not done and what needs to be done in order to get it done. Thank you, Chair. I hope that there is a response, Chair, because I wouldn't like to leave here without having a response. Okay. That should have been done. Where are we being shortchanged? Because, Chairperson, you cannot have these refrains constantly. I mean, you can check up every report, Chair. Inspecting Judge Office does its job. They tell us exactly what is wrong. And all we have here is that this shall be done and this will be done. But at the end of the day, Chair, I promise you, if I drive down to Oudtshoorn now, Chair, I will see that nothing has done. I promise you that, Chair. For as sure as night follows day, I promise you, nothing is done, Chair. Very little is done. But we can't have that situation, Chair. For how long are we going to fool ourselves that sitting here, having the department before us, listening to all the trouble that the inspecting judge office takes, and in the aftermath of all that, Chairperson, very little happens. I don't think that should be the function of a parliamentary committee, to listen month in and month out and year in and year out about the problems that are confronting these institutions, and precious little is happening, Chair. We cannot have that situation, Chair. Thank you.
In a nutshell, our observation is that due to the shift system during our inspections and interaction with the department, due to high rate of vacancies, there are not sufficient members. Also, we've also seen it in some report and at some stage is also the office, the members is in the head office and regional office, where are they employed? That is the three core things that has a major impact in terms of the rehabilitation within our centers. And that is what we have been saying in our quarterly as well as our monthly reports. And that is exactly what we are highlighting, that in a certain sense, our members' lives are in danger because of the ratio between members and inmates. It also has an impact in terms of the rehabilitation. It has a major impact in terms of activities that goes in our center because our inmates are not being kept. It has an impact on inmates being involved in farming activities. There's a whole string we can continue. The core of the thing is those three things that needs to be addressed. The shift system, the vacancies, the ratios between member and also where are our inmates deployed. That is the touch of the matter. I trust, Mr. Chair, that we could in some sense respond to Mr. Abram's question.
Sorry, Chair, this issue of the child justice workshops and things.
Please remind them, they don't seem to be working.
Chairperson, the question was that the inspectorate has facilitated various workshops relating to children in conflict with the law. And what we are asking is that in the inspection visits, did the inspectorate focus on the implementation of the Child Justice Act? If yes, what are the challenges that they have noted regarding the implementation of the Act by DCS? Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair and honourable members, it led on to one of the questions that has been posed by Mr. Self regarding the workshops that we had. The judge identified a project that is with children and juveniles in conflict with the law. So what we did in the first year of the judge's appointment, we did a general survey trying to establish what is happening in our centres. That survey, the result has been reviewed in our annual report. From there, we engaged in various workshops
to develop tools. We look at the Child Justice Act. We look at international standards. We take all those things in consideration and developing a tool to now be a little bit more specific. What should we be focusing on? How can we influence the department? With what recommendations can we come up in the context of the Child Justice Act, international standards, and all the interventions? So that is what we are busy looking holistically at it, and then from there train our ICCV to be more specific within our juvenile centers. And it's a project of 2 years, and we will report on it on an annual basis in our annual report, Mr. Chair.
Chairperson, even though I know that it is the chance for the Judicial Inspectorate to report, however, I would like to mention just a few facts. Which I think it would be important when one takes into consideration the questions that have been posed to the inspecting judge. With regard to education and rehabilitation in correctional facilities, it is not each and every correctional facility that has a school. You'll find that the schools are regionally based. There are those facilities that do not have a school, neither do they have facilities where rehabilitation can really take full root. Now what happens is offenders then get transferred to those regional schools that are recognized by the Department of Education that have been accredited to render educational programs, including also rehabilitation programs. So in Fort Warren, Shepperton, there is no formal school there. And I think that is a challenge that the region is indicating that they are now putting measures in place to try and have a school at that facility, which shall have to be based on the criteria as set down by the Department of Education. But I think secondly, is also to put up a facility at that correctional facility depending on the numbers that we would be having of juveniles. Correctional services, Chairperson, with all respect, is being overwhelmed by juvenile and young offenders whom, when some of our facilities were built, we never had consideration that a lot of juveniles and young people would be streaming into our facilities. And as a result of that, we are caught actually napping. And that is why we try now everything in our power to ensure that with the second, with the next phase of putting up facilities, those facilities need to be dedicated to juvenile offenders, to female offenders, and to elderly offenders. I think that's what we're trying to put in place at this point in time. But what the honorable member had been asked was, what do we do about those qualified dentists and doctors who are being sent to remote areas? The department also has entered into an agreement with the Department of Health and Department of Social Development. Those of the people that are qualified are given a period to go and do work at correctional facilities. That is social workers, nurses, and doctors. And throughout the country, where we are having challenges of filling those positions, we have then approached the Department of Health to assist us in getting somebody to be able to render those programs. And the chairperson, maybe when we come back, will provide you with a total number of those nurses and doctors that have been seconded to come and do work in our department at our correctional facilities. Lastly, maybe just to also highlight the fact that most juveniles and young offenders, some of them have not been sentenced, are awaiting time. And as a result of that, the programs that are being rendered to them would not be the same programs as those programs that would render to our sentenced offenders. And that is an area that we are looking at and which we hope to address with the implementation of remand detention. Chairperson, I think I'll read my case.
Chairperson, I want to thank Mr. Modisha for the response. Can I just ask whether when they come back here again, Chair, if they can point out to us, he has said that in their next phase of facilities, they want to cater for juveniles and women. If they can perhaps give us a breakdown of what their plans are throughout the country, Chair. Because this means, Chair, that we'll have to fight for more budget. and we would like to have that information so that we are armed to put up that fight. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is on page 9 in terms of the mental inmate. I wanted to know from the inspecting judge their views in terms of the inmate that are mentally ill. Because my understanding, correctional center is not a hospital of mental people. And I'm worried, Chair, because you find when we go to oversight, we find these people in our sector. Maybe also the department must answer this. Why are we having mental people in the sector? Is it these people get mental ill when they're in our center? Or did they bring them in? Meanwhile, they're mental ill. Because I don't believe that we need to have these people in our center. Why are we having these mental people in our center? And on the outstanding issue, the report says all recommendations have been adequately addressed. How? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Man Gwenya. The question of the mentally ill in our centres, there are different degrees, of course, of mental illness. And when we go into a prison, we've also done a survey, by the way, which focuses on specific centres and a little more detail, but I can give you a general answer at this stage. Is that we have different degrees of mental illness. Psychiatrists will tell you those with psychosis, for example, ideally should not be in the center. But I think it's a South African problem where we don't have institutions to cater for the mentally ill at the worst level, if I can say that as elegantly as I've said it. We don't have, as I said, institutions. Mental institutions are run by the provincial departments of health, as I understand. I think it's well known in respect of remand detainees that waiting for a bed at Falkenberg, for example, in Western Cape, for a referral, a 30-day observation referral, can take months, if not years. There's no other place. They can't be released on bail. They can't be released on remand. So they end up in our centres. Now, of course, it creates a difficulty for the department. The focus, of course, on our inspections when we go in is to identify, in speaking to a psychologist or psychiatrist, that those who've been, if I can invert commas, certified as suffering from one or other mental disorder which requires medication and psychotherapy. And in respect of those, that would be our focus. I've given you a general answer, but the specifics at each center, we do have a survey which results has been reported generally, but those figures are broken down. The next, the issue you raise, Honourable Ngwenya, is the question of all recommendations have been adequately addressed. When we inspect, we of course make the findings which I quoted, and then the department responds to us. Now, they're not ideal answers that they give us, but our measure is that it's reasonable and adequate in the circumstances. Of course, what is missing here, and I think we have to accept, is that the detail with regard to each finding is not given. And I think as we reflect now, I think we need to do that. Alternatively, we do so many inspections. We're quite happy as well, with the permission of the judge and the CEO, to provide our actual inspection findings, the entire one, to the committee. But I think we concede the point that all the recommendations have been adequately addressed doesn't give you the necessary item detail. Thank you.
I think the deeper question that Mabuena is asking, remember she asked the question, do these people get admitted in this condition or is it something that happens inside? And you seem to be suggesting that that determination of the level of mental illness is the speciality of jurisdiction of psychologists, psychiatrists and that type of thing. That's what you seem to be saying. I think the question that we are asking is that at the time of sentencing, surely somebody should be saying to the judge, this individual is mentally ill or this individual is whatever the case might be. I'm talking about litigation circumstances because it doesn't help anybody because these are vulnerable people that we're talking about. And I think the question that we must all answer is how do we, it should not worry me. Somebody said to me, well, there's no other place to put them. They must have been there. There's no other place to put them. I think that came out of something that you said. That is not something that we can say. That, well, because there's no place anywhere else, let's go and put them with the rest murderers, and let's go and put them with the rapists, and let's go and put them. Because it means that that individual has nowhere because of his mental state. I think that's the real concern that we have. And as the institution tasked with ensuring human rights, you would need to come up with some sort of a recommendation. Some sort of a recommendation. You can't continue to report these things, but you have to come up and say, it is there. We don't know what needs to be done to fix it up, but we make these recommendations. Because I think, and let me move to the recommendation stage and push an envelope, it means we're just lamenting. I think that's the real issue that Mountain Verde has raised. Do you want to say something on this matter, sir?
Chairperson, yes, I think you're hitting it on the head. We're struggling with this category of offender, seriously. But what the Honourable Member is asking is, do they come or do they become ill while they are in incarceration? There are those that, Chairperson, come from outside being in the state. And most of those cases then, those that are then treated as your remand and not sentenced. And those are the ones that have to be referred to mental institutions. But there are those that become like that whilst in serving time. And that is being caused by the trauma of incarceration. And those cases, Chairperson, are those that then have to refer as a department to those institutions that can give us an opinion as to how we should go about treating them. The chairperson mentioned the issue of those that need to be referred for observation to Falkenberg. That's a different category that before the case can be finalized in court, whatever case might be, that report had to be provided. And with those ones also, it's a struggle because you don't know where to put them up. And because of their violent nature, they break facilities, they break whatever they come into contact with. In other cases, they even assault other offenders. We had incidents where they had assaulted an offender severely to such an extent that that offender succumbed as a result of the injuries. Now, we're struggling seriously with this category of offender, and we really appreciate the advice that we can get with regard to treating this category of offender.
Chairperson, in terms of the follow-up, Chairperson, I wanted to check that when the inmate is coming to the correctional center on administration, what are they doing in terms of separating them to the cell? Because on the report here, it says that mental ill inmates are housed in communal cell with other inmates. How are they identifying them? And what makes them what makes the department to put these people with these people who are not a mental ill? Why is the department doing that? Because here it shows that the administration is not doing their work in terms of separating these people from the people that are normal. Thank you, Chairperson.
Anybody wants to comment from this side or
Mr. Chair, just one step back in terms of mental health, so that is onto the general health within our facilities. And in our annual report on page 50, we said that, and I'll just read quickly to read this to one paragraph. The findings of our survey were that 38% of inmates were apparently not examined within the 24 hours of admission, and 29% were not informed of their rights of health care, and that includes now mental health, obviously, to health care, and 54% did not receive immediate treatment constitutes the breach of the department policy. And there is two recommendations that have been made. We say that a strong recommendation is made by the inspector that the management and monitoring of healthcare services by senior management is required with a regular report to the be submitted. And then secondly, a further recommendation is that either the department fills the medical vacancies or management manages more closely the frequency of the so it passes on to the healthcare. To the mental health care. It's a little bit more serious than only mental health. And this is the kind of recommendation that we are coming up. But I also hear it needs to be a little bit more specific. And also with regards to the mental care, we will definitely go back, do our homework, and come back to the portfolio committee on that. Under
I don't know if somebody is a panelist and is not shying away from it. I don't know if you want to add to that, as somebody said, but it's something that we all have to deal with, I think, is what you are saying, Chair. Okay. Makalis.
Thank you, Chairperson. If one look at this report, the question comes that the centers are corrections, and corrections means rehabilitation. And if one look at all these centers, you can just, Mr. Barros, at the end of this report that is structured, give us a summary that give us the trend of the centers. I can say the popular trend that you pick up in centers, that's the summary. It's so much centers, this is the trend. And what plans are in place from DCSI side to address this, and when there must be time frame. Because if you engage with DCSI, which means the engagement must include time frame so that we can have outputs. Saying that, Harrison, page 15, if you look at why I'm saying this, it's this question of the sewage system and water in the center of this attention. When we are going to oversight, this is a regular to us that we get at the center. It's a regular. Some centers it will be DPW, some centers it will be the center that Honorable Dr. Adam has said, self-sufficiency, that is what we are preaching, but I don't think it is getting there. The visiting area, number four, awaiting need to be expanded. We are treating this since I came to this portfolio chair. Only one in it is the question that my Honorable Nguyen has just raised of mental illness. To me, I really want to make a proposal to take. Meet with health, because there are so many colleges and so many auxiliary nurses that can help out in DCS. Engage health. There are people you know of people who have finished in college and they are at home. Nowhere to be accommodated, not in hospitals, at health. DCS is the shortage. So really engage them to make also them aware that there are needs to accommodate these professionals elsewhere. We do need them. So I need that proposal because otherwise I don't see us making progress. If you go to page 60, number 7, according to the nurse at the center, one inmate was prescribed a mental diet, a medical diet. The inmate apparently doesn't receive the diet. What does that mean to us? That is why we got people who go out of this center more traumatized than the time that they went into the center. And corrections means we must bring these people, inmates out of correctional center, being better people. And that's not happening. We are angering them more and traumatizing them in the center. And that is where it comes in that at the end of this report, really we need a summary that gives us this strength and plans in place from DCS. And if you look at 18, Toyando female, 5 children under the age of 18 were found incarcerated with juvenile inmates. I think this one, we did address this one when we were in Sierra. We were very harsh that day. We even made them take those underage out of the hardcore criminals that they were incarcerated with. But it is still happening in Toronto. And I think this is a TPP, private center. The male juveniles unit is found that beds in the single cells were stacked three high. And these are centers that are called excellent centers, these Toronto centers. It's a so-called very excellent center. But look what they are doing, they are traumatizing people. So really, you have to strengthen yourself as pigs. Although we know the laws and regulations are not giving you the teeth, you must teeth yourself. You must sharpen your teeth yourself. Make your point and make your mark. Otherwise, we will be preaching here forever. You must do that yourself because you are independent. So your independence, you must stress it. You must put your foot down to stress that you are independent, whether you are accommodated in DCA buildings or what. But your role is independence. So for us, really, it's to bring it out so that we can see you are also practicing it and bring it out to stress out what we are telling and advising you to do. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member, Chair, I'm humbled to say that the Toyando visit was done by the inspecting judge himself and myself, the company's inspecting judge, and while we stood there until they took the juveniles out, the children out. Then on the spot. We did not leave the center that day until they took all the triple bunks off. And we actually went back to go and look and said, please don't put them back on when we turn our back. I'm humbled to say that that is the kind of thing that we do on the spot, address it, and before we leave, try and make change. In terms of the summary trend, he has confirmed what the inspecting judge said yesterday. When he met with the legal director, he was not satisfied with just leaving the report like that. He said he does not summarize, bring things together. He does not place specific recommendations in terms of conditions and treatment. So it strengthened just what the judge said yesterday to the legal team. They are all here to hear that it is not only the judge, but it is also this committee that has that same expectation and requirements. I think that was the two main things in terms of the almost moving beyond our mandate. Yes, there are quite a number of things that we do. Example, after the judge came back from Polokwane and we discovered 42 inmates under the with bail less than 1,000, three juveniles with bail of 200 rand for theft. We actually asked the files, we read it, something like paid 200 rand in our centre. Our legal services went beyond our mandate, started writing to the magistrates, to the prosecutors, really trying to make a difference. So what we report here, there's quite a number of things, and I'm saying it for the third time, very humble, that we are doing to bring about change on grassroots level. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes.
Happy, sir.
Part of my question was like answered before I even asked. mainly it was like, I wanted an explanation on this adequately, our recommendation was adequately addressed. Now, Mr. Carlson tried to expatiate as to what does that mean. But in fairly speaking, let me constructively so criticize this term. I'm not happy with it. Because if you look at it, it does not speak to the issues. Where was I? If you look at one page, let me just make this example. It's page, this one is good, no, now. Let's make it page 9, because there's 8 next to it. Yeah, Jefferson, it says here, it's a summary of the recommendation. It says that's 2, on the 24th of July, 2012. HCC to furnish inspectorate with plans in place to resolve findings 1 to 8 as well as the time frame thereof. But if you check some other findings, it does not have number 8. It's up to number 7, for that the following page 10. Now, this is a very, I'm not saying it's a serious mistake, but I'm saying, yeah, now let's take the, what is it, the outstanding issues. The recommendation, the outstanding issues that all the inspectorate recommendations have been adequately addressed. To me, it worries some, Chair, because you are not sure what has happened to issues lately. You are not sure. We want to assist the inspectorate to do his job fairly and square. You know? Where you identify hindrances, this is where you report to and say, yeah, we wanted to do this thing and they were not given a chance. So intervene. Hence, we said that the you are partly independent, the judicial inspectorate, partly independent, is compromising its work. You know, when you can better analyze this recommendation adequately addressed, I'm tempted to arrive at a conclusion that says there are areas that you don't want to say, yeah, we're not given a chance to do our job here. You know, I'm tempted to say that, but maybe we must wait until that's a day that when we'll be receiving the detailed kind of response to issues raised. Because I had the gentleman, the gentleman who responded to this earlier.
Disorder.
Yeah. He was speaking generally, you know, generally speaking. He don't speak generally. We want specific. There was a complaint by an inmate that he was assaulted by the officials who have investigated on such a day. These are the reports. These are the recommendations. This is what happened. Okay, maybe something opposite happens. That did not happen because they were hindered by the officials from the department. Then you bring the report to us and say, we have a problem. How do we deal with it? Now you will go back to what the Honorable Abrams was saying, wherein we will not tolerate officials that make JIG's work impossible. We will immediately make a decision. Our job is to take decisions, and some of these decisions may not be as smooth as one wants them, you see. Now, my teacher, more of a comment. My plea is that I don't know when will that happen, but the next report, maybe the next quarter, it must come into detail, with details. This is how we did this matter. This is how we got the complaint, so that when we ask, you are specific. recommendations adequately addressed versus the complaint. They don't talk. They don't talk to each other. They don't talk to each other. Now, that's my, it's a comment, more a comment here, because I've said earlier, my question was answered before I even asked. You know, I'll stop here. Thank you.
All right. Let us indicate that the judicial inspector had asked for an indala so that we can talk to DCS and all other old layers to do exactly what Babangul is talking about strengthening the hand. And that workshop is going to take place on our first or second interaction next year. Maybe these are the type of things that we should be putting on in that meeting. Because really, I think you're beginning to get the frustration of members that it is clear that there are things that are happening there, but there's not a strong enough recommendation or corrective action. And it might not be your fault, because the law, just as it stands, might not give you sufficient teeth as Sisbalisa was talking about. But on the 20th of February 2013, these are the kind of matters that I think we must put, because the minister will be there, the department will be there, everybody else will be there. And we certainly will raise it. Babadela and then Mr. Mack will be the last one. And Abraham, you follow me.
No, thanks, sir. We'll be speaking number four. Well, I'm interested to hear that we left the member in July 2011. Yeah, number four. 2011, I'm impressed. That's a comment there. If it is true that we left the member in 2011, July 17. Then on page 22, there's an allegation by an inmate which was done in 2024 October. And it is basically, it has not been completed. Now, it's 6 years after the incident happened. I just want to find out why is it taking so long to complete this, this matter. And if you check in page 24, under action taken on the very same matter, it says that one official was removed from his post and has undergone disciplinary procedure in January 2007. Then this radio is the worrying factor to say that it was just removed. Where was he removed to? This official is suspended or is still working but on another unit. And lastly, the this one of the inmate allegation briefly of wearing tape here. 24. Inmate wearing tape here. Then we have been up for assaulted. I just want to find out how often does the department issue shoes, pair of shoes to inmate? Thanks.
Let me start with the with Mr. Carlosa and then Mr. Mauricio and the Mr.
Ms. Fiona Khurabun, the unit manager, will deal with that.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Regarding complaint, that is number one of Morbi. The chairperson, one of the members were asking, why did it take so long? As you would see that the date that we received the complaint was on the 5th of July 2012. Now, normally what happened is that inmates write letters to the inspectorate and then we deal with it immediately. So we dealt with this matter, action was taken the next day. But normally we don't know the reasons why they respond or write, take so long to write. Only the inmate can really answer that question. But the incident, when we went through his letter, it happened in 2006. And then it gets difficult for the department to provide us a report. So this is why, in this instance, this report took so long to get to the inspector, because they have to go to their archives. In some instances, they have to restart a fresh investigation, and some officials might not be there. which then rendered that investigation inconclusive. But in this case, the head of centre did provide us with the recommendation, where he said that one of the people was removed from the post and undergone a disciplinary procedure in 2007. So what that meant is that person is no longer working for the Department of Correctional Services. Regarding the, there was another one on page 24, Vitton's matter. We've received an investigation report in that matter, but what happened is that the head of centers only sent the inspector a recommendation, and we were not, as the members were questioning this, we were questioning it as well, so we requested the department to provide us not only with a summary of the investigation, but to provide us the full report, and that would include the statements of inmates and so forth, so that we can evaluate the evidence based on the statements of actual officials and inmates. But he said that the like provisional interim, just the final decision, that the official will be removed from the unit to see there is no further victimization or that type of thing. But it seems that in this matter, from the recommendations, that the official has not been disciplined or fired or anything, still working for the department. I hope I answered the question satisfactorily. Thank you.
Chairperson, Chusa issued on admission, and then as and when they are worn out, then the offender must bring their old shoes so that they can get new shoes. However, we have the experience of struggling with certain numbers of shoes, like your number 5, number 6, and your bigger sizes, number 12 and 13. And in that instance, Chairperson, then the head of the center should allow an offender to use his own shoes up until we have received shoes from the center that manufactures shoes. But seeing that this offender is in Vetbank, I do not foresee that there could have been a problem of him being issued with the correctional service shoes, because Vetbank is one of the facilities that manufacture shoes for offenders. So I think in this matter, Chairperson, it would be very important that the entire investigation report be received by the judicial inspectorate so that they can then make up their mind as to whether this was done correctly or what is actually the cause that the offender being assaulted. And if the offender was assaulted, for sure, Chairperson, there should have been a criminal case instituted. So the inspectorate should also request that they be provided with the CAS number and interact then with the investigating officer of the police to come to the bottom of the whole case. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Max, and then Barbara will be there.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Carlson, yeah, I've listened to Member Guni's concern about the last column and doesn't speak with the other column. However, it is my opinion that having regard to your outstanding issues, that it seems to me that the situation has improved dramatically. With regard to feedback from DCS. And I'm very glad to see that. On the other hand, my concern is if you are going to, and that is a comment, trying to put every action step taken by DCS in this document, it will become very voluminous. And I propose, as an alternative to that, to satisfy the needs of members maybe, that you keep those as a narrative, you know, additional if there's a request and provide it according on request, because this document will be very bulky. The other point is, coming back to your HR issue, is that if I can recall, you must help me, Mr. Carlson, that at one stage you mentioned that there's a proposed establishment which is with a minister to sign or something. And I think you, if I can recall, that you said you would appreciate if we can assist in finalizing the speed up that process. Is that process been finalized? Because that was the thing. I went to the office now to check, where is this? Is that process additional to what is in this document? And what is the stage, you know, the process? At what stage are this process? Is it been signed? What is fully outstanding? Thank you, Chair.
the process is still outstanding. If I, if my memory doesn't fail me, the chairperson and the committee requested the department to come back on the 28th of November with this specific answer on this question. In other words, that there is a new structure, that all the paperwork has been done, we comply with every single regulation, it's just a matter of signing the document off. And I've said it, and this is the second time I'm saying it, the last communication in writing from the department was on the 21st of August, where they said that it is en route. What does that mean? But the answer will come effect on the 28th of November.
Thank you. Thank you, Voorzitter. Chairperson, I would like to refer to page 17 and page 19. Page 17, Chair, approximately 49 days ago, the judge visited Kutama Shintumule. That is now one of the PPP prisons. And Chairperson, I must read this because it's very interesting. Number one, the finding was the DCS controller has not been connected to the DCS service, server since February 2012. This has the effect that the center does not have an electronic file on inmates, making it difficult to ascertain which inmates qualify for reclassification of parole. Number two, the judge was informed by the prison director that inmate gratuity payments have not been increased during the past 10 years. This coming from a private public partnership business. The outstanding issue on this matter, Chairperson, is the feedback regarding findings 1 and 2. And here, Chairperson, it is stated that the feedback was expected by 26-9-2012. Now, I take it that at the time of compilation of this report, it has still not come. But there's another interesting thing which connected to, in some way, to this, Chair, and that's on page 19. Item 5. Boxburg Media Day. Inmate CS whatever number committed suicide on 22nd July 2012 by hanging himself in the shower of the communal cell, where he was found at approximately 4 o'clock in the morning, of course, by fellow inmates. Number 2. The inmate was apparently frustrated with the slow progress of his parole application. Now, Jefferson, what is of great concern here are a number of issues. Firstly, it is of great concern that Kutuma Shintumule, which is a privately run institution, is unable, it makes it difficult to ascertain which inmate qualify for reclassification of the role. Now, how many such frustrated people are there, Jefferson? It's a matter of concern. Secondly, Jefferson, if in a state-run institution, one run by the department over which we have oversight, we have an inmate who is allegedly, or apparently, who was frustrated, and that led to his possible, to his suicide. That is being given as a possible reason. Now, Chairperson, this tells me that we at regular intervals receive phone calls and also communication from inmates who ask for some or other form of intervention as they're waiting to hear about their parole and all sorts of things. I think on a previous occasion we had asked the department to tell us how many people, inmates, do they have who in terms of the time that they have served can be considered for parole, but who have not yet either applied for parole or who have not been advised of their right that they may apply for parole. Now, Chairperson, this is to my mind a very a dangerous territory, that you have people who get frustrated and who then go to extremes because there seems to be nobody to listen to them or those that are supposed to be considering their applications are not doing enough to see that there is some finality to that application. If this person had been told that, listen, you don't qualify for parole, so shut up, you can do nothing, the person would have known that I've now got to wait more. But where you keep people in limbo, Chair, put ourselves in that situation, Chair, you will also be frustrated. And I feel, Chair, that this is an area where the department has to give us some answers. Yes, we've heard that the parole board in certain instances cannot meet on time and things like that. Now, Chairperson, here again, the principle is that when I accept a job, when I accept a position, then I must know that there are certain responsibilities. And if I'm unable to carry out those responsibilities, Chair, then I should not have accepted the position. And those that oversee that particular position and whether the job is done should then be able to turn around and say that, look guys, you are not performing, you have a backlog, if we need to give them assistance in order to perform, and that should be done. And in cases where people are lethargic, don't care two hoots about the next human being, then those people should go there. So this is an area, Chair, where we need to have some explanations. And I wish to know from Mr. Carl, sir, whether in the case of PPP, since having compiled this report, have you had any feedback? Because yes, Jefferson, the rights of inmates, as far as I'm concerned, stand to be compromised. Because these people are unable to ascertain which inmates are due for consideration for parole, Chair. The rights of those people are being compromised. Thank you, Chair.
Sir, I will respond. Thank you. Insofar as the Kutama Sinchumule matter, Mr. Abram, I'll answer the question on the gratuity. The committee had been copied a letter that we had written there. The issue, the director of the PPP he raised it with the judge when the judge was there with regard to the gratuity not increasing. The matter was then referred to the CDC incarceration, Mr. Smallberger. We have subsequently written to Mr. Smallberger, highlighted the fact that of the urgency of it. If I recall the department's answer, Mr. Sello, the acting CDC, he indicated that it was not budgeted for and it was proposed to be budgeted for. And the last communication, we had emphasized that there seemed to be no time frame with regard to the gratuity. So it's still an outstanding issue. And it's with the department, and it seems as if it's going to be deferred for some committee that they wanted to set up. I can't remember all the detail of that communication, but I believe that the communication was submitted to the committee. Then with regard to the DCS server, I'm going to defer that to...
No, just before you get onto the server, maybe you must not comment on it. You know, I'm struggling to understand this first part of it. When it suits the PVPs, and maybe you must respond to it next week when you come to it, when it suits the PVPs, they design their own internal affairs. Now, we're talking about gratuities. It sounds as if they're not going to implement it until they hear something from the department. That's what I sense what you are saying to me. So, no, I don't want you to respond. I don't want you to respond. I'm saying if I'm understanding you correctly. That is why I'm saying to you, Mr. Modi, that we must have a discussion on this one. Because the sense that I'm getting is that they can't increase this until they get some sort of a director from yourself. On the other matters, they do everything else, whether it is designing the that is what they call private, by the way. They design all the rehabs and all those things, regardless of what is happening inside. So I'm just saying at some point we must have a discussion if I'm understanding this incorrectly. I mean, this is what I find from my days in Scopa.
that there is such discrimination if I'm in a PPP or I'm in a private prison. There's no doubt that there's discrimination. These have better treatment. They're never ever overcrowded, for instance. PPPs, never overcrowded. These are consistently overcrowded. So, if what you're saying to me is correct, that they're not getting this increase because they're waiting for a committee or a director, it's something that we must look at some point. Because I don't understand the type of, if they are waiting for that type of thing. I just thought I must raise that matter and it's good. Unless you want to give me some sort of a response, or unless I'm not understanding what you were answering to Mr. Abram.
Chairperson, maybe just to provide some clarity. With regard to gratuity and all other correctional services policies, the private institutions must operate in line with the policy of the department. The gratuity, they can't do it themselves. Correctional services must indicate these are the levels that you must pay for all the offenders, and this is how you will then allow them time to do purchases. So gratuity, with regard to services rendered by offenders, correctional services is the one that decides how much and how much can be spent over during a month. But what the question was, actual chairperson, is about the server, which I think correctional services is the one that should have its own server. Our controller functions independently of the private institution. So if the server of DCA is down, it then means that correctional services cannot communicate with its own controller who is working full-time at the private institution to monitor implementation of policy. But also the rider to the question is the classification and the parole. In other words, as a monitoring entity, we are not able to establish as to whether offender X, does he now qualify to be reclassified to becoming a medium, and or should offender X be considered for parole. Now, if our server is down at the private institution, it should be the responsibility of correctional services to ensure that that server is working properly. But in terms of policies, correctional services policies that need to be implemented in the private institution. And those policies come direct from the national office.
Okay. We understand the policy what we have. In terms of the broad one, what you're saying, Mr. Modise, is that the real administrators of that eligibility for parole or reclassification continues or remains the responsibility of DCS. That's what you're saying.
Chairperson, that is correct. That is why for all these two, both these facilities, we have a case management committee that deals with Kutama at Toyando and CMC at Hootplay that only deals with Mangaung. So they determine when the offender is due for reclassification, when he is due for consideration for parole. So you're
right. All right. That was for the record, so that we don't walk out of Mr. Abram thinking that, and I'm not defending them, thinking that it's the PPPs that are not meeting their obligations. It's us that are not doing what we're needing to be doing. I think that should clarify that. Thank you very much. We'll afford you to make closing comments after I've said one or two things. In fact, I just want to raise 3 points. The fourth point that I want to raise is Mr. Carlos, we're beginning to get the sense that the direct responses to inmates or to their relatives is something that you people must check. We will send you a letter. I can tell you now, looking at this report that you sent us, outstanding matters from January 1 to September, one of them here talks about a matter that has, even this morning, we received it. This Nazir Nakwa matter. This morning again we received a email saying we want the contact for the police, the contact for the judiciary, the contact for health, and everybody else. And this matter has been with us forever. So what we are asking you is that somehow you guys must find a way of reporting directly to those people, because it really overworks us. Yeah. Suddenly it's become a post office. I'm just giving you that example of this Nazir. Another issue that I think we wanted to raise with you is, in your responses sometimes we think, and let me raise this point, true. We don't think that your answers go deep enough. You know, there's an issue of somebody that complained, because I think he was part of those that filmed something in one of the prisons. Yeah. And then he was intimidated and beaten up at something, and he was removed. When you respond to us, you say to us, well, that person that has been intimidated has been removed. That's not the issue. The issue is, why is he intimidated? So you guys say to us, problem solved, he's been removed. And we're saying to you, that's not the answer for us, because you need to go to the root cause of, he was removed because something wrong was happening. We want to hear from you, what are you doing about the wrong that is happening? So I'm just saying to you that sometimes the responses are not good enough. I mean, on the matter of Mom Gwenya's visit to Portsmouth, for instance, we did follow up, because this is a member of parliament who comes and says, look, this is what I found. Your response says, no, look, we've had this discussion, we've spoken about it, we've had some discussion, our view is that the matter must be closed. That's your report to me. Members don't have that report. It says, no, we had this discussion, we think the matter must be closed. The issue that was raised is the hygiene. That's the issue that was raised, the hygiene or otherwise. So when you come back to us and say, well, we've discussed with the area commissioner, we've discussed with everybody, and as Jigs, we think the matter should be closed, you don't give us an initiative to go back to the member and say your concern is now being addressed. So that's the second point that I'm raising, that your answers to us must be such that we are able to go and satisfy whether it's the member or the relative that, look, this is your concern and this has been addressed. The second one is your ability to communicate directly. I think it goes that Abraham is saying generally that this communication, I think, we need to fix up. The last point I want to make, and I think it touches on the issues that maybe was raised by Max indirectly, and I think it was raised by somebody, either the stakeholders or somebody. You know, and I know that Cindy has raised it to me, we have to find a way of sifting through the complaints, Mom Gray. And it's going to help you, because you give us a report, because every time somebody complains, they write a report. We've received a complaint from Vincent because he hasn't been given food. But sometimes Vincent just makes this complaint because he's always in jail, you know? And you guys then put it in. Somebody said last week that we must find a way of shifting it so that Vincent knows, if I give a false complaint, tomorrow my complaint is not going to be taken seriously. In other words, there's consequences for false complaints. It's going to help you, it's going to help DCS, it's going to help all of us. I think we must find mechanisms, because otherwise you're going to be inundated with all sorts of complaints that have no merit. So between now and our interaction on the 20th or the 28th of February or whenever, you need to come up with some idea as to how do we start sifting and also making inmates aware that, you know, you'll come and you'll lie to us on Monday, and we'll go and do all the homework and we'll find out that you're lying. You lie to us on Tuesday, we'll do all the homework and we'll find out that you're lying. Beyond Tuesday, you're on your own because you've misled everybody. It's a cost to the state for doing these things. So I think that's what we need to do, because really, this report, as big as it is, it's going to triple every time you come to us, because everybody just puts a complaint. And we don't have a way of saying, no, but this complaint has no merit. This complaint is merit. And I think we must start sending that message. So those were over and above the strengthening. Those are the things I think you guys have come to that colloquium with, in terms of how are you sifting, how are you prioritizing. Because every member complains one day, I mean, once every day, it means you're going to have 160,000 complaints daily. If everyone just made one complaint every day, you can't manage that process. You can't manage that process. Find a way of accepting and punishing those that are deliberately misleading us or giving us false leads and false information. So I must just raise those things. Other than that, we will have a broader endeavor on the 20th when we have all the stakeholders in terms of strengthening and streamlining. Thank you very much, on the 20th. No, the 21st of this month, we're seeing the department. We're talking about the workshop between the inspecting judge the DCS and all of us. It's on the 20th next year. Okay. I will recognize you in the program. So I thought those are the issues that we must raise with you so that you start preparing and sharpening yourself accordingly. And we are not going to see you again until that time. So besides the direct email that we are going to be sending by Cindy or members when they get there. Thank you very much, Judge. You and your team, we will... Sorry. No, the feedback of the organization will get on the 21st, because that's from the department. And then we'll get on the 21st. The strengthening we'll get later.
Mr. Carson mentioned earlier on the 28th, something about the 28th. I didn't know 28th anymore.
But it's the department. We would have told Mr. Carson that later. The 28th has been moved to the 21st, Mr. Carson, so very correct. So that's what I wanted to say, Judge. You can wrap it up. We want to say thank you, because this is our last interaction with you for the year, until next year, and we'll try and incorporate most of the stuff that you want to do. But before you respond, Mr. Abram wanted to say something.
No, Chairperson, otherwise...
I think, for the order, please. Chairperson, you know, sometimes I sit here and watch ourselves as members. As a whip chair, I want to remind the members the principle of the meeting or our meeting as Chairperson. That the Chairperson, when the Chairperson has finished to make a recommendation, we don't have to speak after the Chairperson. Thank you.
Yeah, but I don't want to observe what you were trying to make that.
Chairperson, I will not sleep peacefully if I don't ask that the following issues be reported on to us.
Fine, let me. Because you've got some folks there and you've got Cindy here, can you give us that in writing? So that we sort of give us those issues in writing, we will make sure it gets to whoever, and they will respond to us accordingly. I just don't want to create unnecessary chaos. Give us in writing, we'll post it, and we will get... It's only the department that we see on the 28th. We don't see DIPS again. If there's matters that we want DIPS to work on between now and the 20th, from today until then, we can submit it in writing to assist them. If it's for the department, we will do the same thing, and we'll ask you that you come and see us on the 20th if you can address those matters that member might feel strongly about. Is that in order, Mr. Abram?
Chairperson, I'll have to accept your ruling. This has to do with two suicides, and it does concern me, but thank you. I'll take it up the way you've advised.
Thank you, Judge, you'll have the last word, and then we'll adjourn business for the day.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I think these interactions are very helpful to us, because you scrutinize these reports and point out certain deficiencies, which is good for us, because we then go back and try and correct any shortcoming which we have had in these reports. I'm sorry, I'm not feeling any more. But otherwise, I think it's very helpful to be involved in these debates, for us in particular, because we are supposed to carry out a specific duty, which is a duty to the community and the public. Now, if we didn't have this scrutiny which takes place in these meetings, we would still be lacking in the performance of our duty. So, in short, I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dad, and to our colleagues from DIC that we will not see. May you have all the best between now and January, and the department I'm sure we will see again, but of course, as usual, you are more than welcome to our interaction on the 28th. In fact, let us just inform you and everybody else, because we're all stakeholders, that next week we are seeing the Legal Aid Board of South Africa, who are major stakeholders in many of these things. So you're all more than welcome. to come and participate, I mean, to come and observe and so on. But we've afforded them opportunity to come and address us, and members will then engage with them. But you are more than welcome. It affects everything that you do. If you don't come, then have a good Christmas and a good New Year. Thank you very much. Thank you.